North Korea tested more ballistic missiles this week, also unveiled a submarine that could be able to carry nuclear weapons. And then there's the snow crabs. Today we learned that North Korea seized a Russian fishing boat last week, a boat that was in North Korean waters looking for snow crabs. The crab meat fetches a high price in international seafood markets, and it's a big earner for North Korea's economy, which is struggling under U.S. and international sanctions. Neil Bhatia is with the Center for a New American Security. Neil, I never thought the geopolitics of North Korea would lead me to talking snow crabs, but just how important are these crabs and other fisheries to the North Korean economy right now?
So it's a pretty important cash crop for North Korean exports. Obviously, their economy is on more or less lockdown thanks to U.S. and United Nations sanctions, but they operate a quite vast illicit economy, and selling fish outright and selling fishing rights as well are two ways that they have historically made ends meet.
I mean, Trump might tout his special relationship with Kim Jong-un, but North Korea is still under heavy U.S. sanctions. Are these crab, are these fish exports subject to those sanctions? And if they are, how are they sold and who's buying?
Yeah, so they're absolutely covered as one of the exports that's restricted by United Nations sanctions in particular, but that hasn't stopped a lot of actors on the international stage from trying to make money through this. And you're talking mostly about transnational criminal networks, smuggling networks, some of which operate across the Chinese-North Korean border, and then a lot of them operate in the maritime space. So obviously, if you're talking about fishing, it's quite easy to take a fishing cargo, transfer it to another ship, relabel it as fish from somewhere else, and then sell it on the open market. And I mentioned before, the sort of licensing scheme is one way that the regime makes money. What they do is identify mostly Chinese fishing vessels who are able to pay, you know, about $7,000 a month or so for the privilege of fishing in North Korean waters, which is also something that's restricted by the current sanctions regime, and they get a cut of the sale, so it's quite lucrative for all concerned.
It does seem snow crabs are a pretty lucrative commodity for the North Korean economy. As for food generally for North Koreans, we see that the agricultural harvest is not forecast to be good this year, and it's only 20 years since a long famine ended in North Korea. Is there anything like a food emergency approaching again?
So that's another interesting question. Solid data is hard to get out of North Korea, but from the indications we're hearing, particularly from South Korean analysts who follow this quite closely, that the fuel restrictions that are part of that sanctions package are sort of trickling down to everyday North Korean farmers whose quotas for fuel for tractors, for example, are now quite low. And as a result, you've seen a decline in the harvest. You've seen a decline in overall economic activity. So I think the prospect of that slowing economic growth is again raising the specter of, you know, are we on the doorstep of another famine? I don't think there's anything solid to indicate that as of yet, but I think there are warning signs that we're seeing in the North Korean economy writ large.
You did say, Neil, that the data can be opaque, but overall, just how much of a squeeze is Kim Jong-un facing financially?
So I think we need to separate what is happening to Kim and his elite inner circle and the wider North Korean population. I think everyday North Koreans who are not part of the regime are most certainly feeling a significant economic pinch. The agricultural production numbers are just one part of that we're seeing. How much pinch the elites are feeling is less certain. All of these illicit networks are ultimately serving what they want. So they may be feeling slightly constrained on the margins, but I don't think it's yet risen to the level where he feels like he has a significant internal pressure from those who are immediately around him. He feels like he has time to spare and that this process with the Americans is something that he can manage.
Neil Bhatia with the Center for a New American Security in Washington. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.